Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be saved today? Amen. Well, as I look out the window, it looks like the sun's coming up. Amen. Sunrise service. And we are glad to be here this morning, looking forward to the Lord just helping us in the preaching of the Word. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of John. If you want to turn there, John chapter number 19. Then we're also going to read from Luke chapter 24. Read these stories of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise God. John chapter 19. Praise the Lord. Appreciate your being here this morning. And I trust that you've come expecting God to help you right here. Maybe you came for the biscuits. You just hold on. They'll be here in a little while. Amen. Right now, let's look after the Lord's blessing. All right? Amen. Brother Isaac, if I could get a little monitor. It seems like it's or maybe my ears aren't woke up yet. Amen. John chapter 19. I want to start reading in verse number 16. We're going to go through verse 18. And then we're going to skip down to verse 38 and read through verse 42. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 24. And read some of the account of the resurrection there. If you have it, say amen. John chapter 19, verse 16. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 1. The Bible said, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. I'd like to preach to you this morning, if the Lord would help me, on this thought: from gloom to glory. From gloom to glory. Can we pray together and ask the Lord to help us today? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for Resurrection Sunday. I pray that today your Spirit would fill this house, that you would anoint the preaching of the Word. You would touch the hearts and lives of men and women. And I pray that you would let the gloom of Thursday and crucifixion roll away, and let the glory of Sunday resurrection roll in our hearts. I pray that you would do these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. From gloom to glory. We are reading here the story of the resurrection. We had to get a full picture of it, so we backed up a couple days, and we read there in the book of John about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Amen. We read there about them nailing him to the cross at that place of the skull called Golgotha. And then they buried him in that garden sepulcher. But when we get to the book of Luke chapter 24, we find first of all the vacant tomb. Amen. He was not there. Hallelujah. He was not there. They looked at him and they said, he is not here. Glory to God. Where was he? They were perplexed. They were confused. We don't know where the Lord is. But the angels turned to them and gave them the victorious truth. He is risen. Hallelujah. He is not here, not because his body has been stolen, not because they have hid him in another place, but the victorious truth is this. He is risen. Hallelujah. That's why we have hope on this Sunday morning. That's why we can rejoice today. Amen. Because he is risen. He is alive. Hallelujah. You see, the grave is not the end of life, but the grave is the entrance to eternal life. Hallelujah. That is the victorious truth of Easter today. Amen. That because he lives, we shall live also. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I feel like preaching here today. Let's look at this Easter story for a little while. I want you to go back with me and let's notice the gore of Golgotha. For in John chapter 19, the Bible said that they crucified him, amen, on the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Amen. Golgotha was a gory place. I know that today, in the day and age that we live in, that many have tried to move away from the gore of Calvary. They have tried to move away from the blood of the Lamb. They've tried to take it out of the songbook. They've tried to minimize it, that it is a gory religion. But Brother Deal, there is no way around it. Golgotha was a gory place. It was a place where murder was taking place. It was a place where there was much damage to the human body. Amen. I want you to notice his pain this morning as they nailed him to the cross. We look at John chapter 19 and verse number 1. Notice what it said. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Oh, God help us this morning. Amen. The pain of that scourging was absolutely intense. I do not mean to gross you out, but I am preaching about the gore of Golgotha. They took that cat of nine tails, one whip, and nine leather tongs that would come out of it. Amen. In the end of every one of them would be a piece of metal or glass or a sharp stone. And they would take that whip and lash it upon him. Those cat of nine tails would wrap around his shoulders and wrap around his sides. And they would pierce into his body and get a hold. And then that soldier was trained to pull it. And it would rip the flesh. His body would be torn and broken and bleeding. They say that many men would die right at the whipping post. Their hands tied above them. Their back exposed. And the whip biting in and ripping and tearing. They said that many times their inwards would be ripped out and hang out of their body. I'm preaching about the gore of Golgotha. Amen. I know that it's a gory story. But I want you to know, friend. Amen. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. He endured all of that for our good. Amen. You may not like the gore of Golgotha, but I want to say right here, I thank God for that gore of Golgotha. For without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of my sin. Praise God for Calvary. Praise God for the cross. Praise God for Golgotha. Not only was there a scourging, but look at verse number 2. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Anybody ever had a splinter in your finger? Feels like your whole hand's about to fall off, doesn't it? They took those thorns and they wove them together. And then they pressed them down upon his brow.
The thorns dug into his skull. The blood flowing down over his face, running from his head. Look at verse number 3. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. They're smacking him in the face. They're beating him with their hands. They took a rod, one place said, and beat him upon the back. I'm talking about the pain that he suffered. He suffered it all. As our brother sang last night, because he loved me. But if that's not enough, they took that cross, those heavy timbers, and placed it upon his broken and bleeding back. And he started up the hill of Golgotha, carrying that load of the cross. Amen. Carrying that burden upon him until it literally crushed him to the ground. They handed it over to Simon the Cyrene, and he carried it all the way up to the top of the hill. When they got him there, they laid him down and put nails through his hands and nails through his feet and lifted it up in the air and dropped it in that hole. Can you imagine the agony and the torment and the pain that he suffered? Why did he do it, Brother Brim? He did it because he loves you. He did it because he loved me. I'm glad for the pain and the agony that he suffered. Amen. Then he perished. He died. But why did he do it? He was purchasing our healing. He was purchasing our cleansing. He was purchasing our salvation. He was purchasing our soul back. I'm glad that he's my redeemer by the blood of Calvary, by the gore of Golgotha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We move from the gore of Golgotha, and we next take the next step, and we move into the gloom of the garden. Amen. Notice what they said. Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Christ, Nicodemus came along with him. They took the body of Jesus, verse number 40, wound it in linen clothes with the spices. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, and there laid they Jesus. What a gloomy, sad time that was. Amen. For those who had followed him, and they had put their faith in him. They had trusted in this man called Jesus. They had believed his claims. They had honored him as the Son of God. They had worshiped him and served him and followed him and hung on every word that he had. But now he is buried. It's always a gloomy time when somebody that we love is buried. It's always a sad time when we take them to the cemetery and we bury them in the ground. There is sadness in our heart. Tears fill our eyes and run down our cheeks. Weeping may be our meat day and night. Despair, how will we go on? He is buried. Amen. It's a sad time. It's a gloomy time. And here they are in the garden, burying their God, burying their loved one, burying their Lord and Savior and their King, they thought. And now he is dead. And he is buried. Amen. But I want you to notice something else. It's not just that Jesus was buried, but it's that their hope was buried. Amen. With him, they buried all their hope, all their faith. He was supposed to be their God. They said, "We trusted in him. We believed his every word. We left everything for him. We left our businesses. We left our houses. We left our families. And now he is dead. And we buried him. And my hopes have been put in the grave." Are you here this morning, friend, and you feel like all your hope that you've ever had has been buried with your trial? It's been buried with your trouble. Amen. You felt the gloom of the garden in your life. And you're saying, "How can I go on? How can I trust God? Why did this have to happen? How can I ever pray again? My hope is buried. My hope is gone. I'm living a hopeless life. I'm in a helpless situation. I don't know where to turn." And the gloom of that day is rolling in on your heart. You feel the burden and the blackness. You feel the heaviness. You feel the hurt. You feel the pain and the sorrow. And as David said, tears are your meat day and night. You're living in a gloomy world. You're living in a pain-filled
sin-filled world. You're living in a sad time. Amen. You're feeling the gloom of the garden. Your hopes are shattered. Your faith is gone. Where are we going to turn? Who's going to help us? Who's going to answer our prayer? Who's going to meet our need? Who's going to help us when we're sad? You're feeling the gloom of the garden.
Years ago, off the coast of Massachusetts, there was a submarine that had an accident with another ship. That submarine sunk like a rock to the bottom of the ocean. They brought in divers and boats. They brought in all of the equipment to try to raise that submarine off the bottom of the ocean floor. They said when they were gathering around trying to figure out how to lift it up off the ocean floor, they heard, one of the divers that was there heard a tapping. He tried to find it. He looked and searched. And finally he put his helmet against the hull of that submarine. And he could feel the vibrations of a tapping coming from inside of that submarine. It was one of those sailors in there. Amen. They were losing their air. They were losing their life. And Brother Compton, they were tapping on the side of that submarine in Morse code. And they were tapping out, is there any hope? Amen. Maybe you've come to church this morning and you feel like you've been living in the gloom of the garden. You feel like your God must be dead. If he was alive, surely he'd help you. And this morning while we were singing, you were tapping out in your heart. Oh God, is there any hope in my gloomy situation? I feel like I'm buried under my trouble. I feel like the waves of the ocean are rolling over me. I feel like I'm buried under the pressure. And I don't know if there's any hope. Is there any hope in my situation? Is there any hope in my life? Is there any hope for my marriage? Is there any hope for my children? Is there any hope for revival? Have you come in today and you feel the gloom of the garden? Hey friend, I want to tell you something. You're still living 2 days behind us. You're still living 3 days behind us. Amen. Because we've come out of the gloom of the garden and we've come out of the core of Golgotha and we've come into the glory that's been revealed in the graveyard. It's Easter morning now, friend, and there's glory in the graveyard. Yes, there's still gloom in the garden, but there's glory in the graveyard on Easter Sunday morning. Amen. There's glory available for every gloomy heart and every gloomy soul and every gloomy spirit and every gloomy situation. There's glory in your gloom.
Hallelujah.
We move over to Luke chapter 24. 3 days' time has not healed their hurt. It has not calmed their crying. The disciples are gathered together, huddled up in rooms, afraid to come out in public. Judas' broken body is forgotten. Simon Peter is still devastated by his denial. The darkness that came as Jesus died and settled over the whole earth has still hung over their hearts and their heads. They're living in the gloom of the garden, friend. The chief priest has rejoiced. Pilate has remembered every detail. Herod has regretted his decision. A soldier is gathered in the barracks and he's trying to clean the blood of the Son of God off of his spear where it pierced him through. And another soldier in the corner is trying on his new garment and robe that he got at the foot of the cross. But then as daylight is about to break and the dawn is beginning to roll in, amen, darkness is beginning to be overcome by the bright light of the sun, there come the woman moving toward the tomb to finish the burial. As they go, they discuss it. Who will move the stone? And will the soldiers let us anoint him for his burial? They feel the gloom still that he is dead and gone. Their hope is buried.
buried in the grave. But gloom is about to turn into glory, friend. Amen. They get to this tomb and the stone is rolled away. And the angel looks at them. Look at it. Verse 5. And he said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. He lives, friend. He lives, friend. Amen. That's how gloom turns into glory. It's because the Son of God still lives. I want to tell you today, amen, there is hope, for God still lives. There is hope, for Jesus came out of the grave alive. There is hope because of an Easter Sunday morning. Amen. I moved out of Thursday. I moved out of Friday. And I moved out of Saturday. And I moved into the glory in the graveyard. Amen. Can you imagine the rejoicing? Can you imagine the hallelujah? Can you imagine the praise God as hope began to rise again? He lives. He lives. He lives. I want to tell you today, friend, he still lives. Amen. He lives in your situation. He lives in your trial. He lives in your trouble. He lives in your sinking boat. He lives in your broken life. He lives when your hopes are shattered and your dreams are scattered on the ground. He still lives. He still lives. That's the glory. Amen. In the graveyard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a family that moved in to a new town. They had a friend in the town that was trying to help them find a place to live. He finally came back to him with a report. I found one house available in the whole community for rent. He said, the problem is this. It is the caretaker's house of a cemetery. And it's sitting right in the middle of the cemetery. And in order for you to rent this house, you have to be willing to do some minor upkeep on the grounds of the cemetery. They said, that'll be fine. We'll do the upkeep. We'll pay the rent and we'll live in the cemetery. They lived there for several months, maybe even a year. But finally it came time where they'd saved enough money and a house came available and they made the purchase of a new house outside of the cemetery. Hey, they were excited about their move and they wrote a letter to all their friends and said, we want to inform you of our move and we want you to know our new address. Amen. We are so excited about this move because it's not every day that somebody moves out of the cemetery. Amen. I want to tell you that's the glory of Easter. Amen. That's the glory of Resurrection Day. It's not every day that somebody moves out of the cemetery. But praise God on Easter morning. Amen. Death couldn't hold him. Amen. Hell couldn't get a grip on him. The grave couldn't get a big enough hold on him. And somebody moved out of the cemetery. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He moved out of the cemetery and he lives today. He lives today. He lives today. Hallelujah. It'd be great if the story stopped right there, wouldn't it? Amen. But can I tell you, there's even a greater glory in this graveyard. And here it is. When he awoke, he took others with him. Matthew chapter 25 or 27 verse 52. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves. Hey man, that's enough to make me rejoice right there. That when he got up, somebody got up with him. But praise God, there's even a greater glory than those getting up on that day when he got up. And here's the real glory of it all right here. Amen. One day he's going to step out. Amen. The trumpet is going to sound. And all those that are dead, amen, in the faith will rise to meet him in the air. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. One day, friend, every one of us that die in the faith are going to have a glorious resurrection. Amen. That glory in the graveyard was not just for Jesus. It was not just for those in the book of Luke or Matthew chapter 27. But that same glory is going to roll over to us, and we're going to live in the same glory of the resurrection power. Amen. Listen to what Corinthians said. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. Amen. We've been dead. We've been laid in the ground in weakness and corruption. But one morning it's going to be turned into glory again. Hey, brother, I want to tell you, we're going to live again. He lives, and we're going to live. Praise God. I feel the glory of the Lord. Amen. One day we're going to get up, and we're going to walk all over. Amen. God's city with him. That's the glory of Easter. That's the glory of the resurrection. That's the hope in our heart. That's why we rejoice. That's why we shout. That's why we sing on Easter. He lives. He lives. But one day we shall live with him. Stand with me all over the house if you would. Can we just lift our hands right now? Thank God that our gloom can be turned into glory. Hallelujah. I couldn't help but think about it. I'm done. Hey, man, I couldn't help but think about it last night. And even right now, my wife's father has been passed away for a little over 18 years, if I've added it up right. Hey, but one day, on that side of the mountain there in West Virginia, hey, man, a grave is going to open up, and he's going to feel the glory of the resurrection. Praise God. Brother Dennis, I couldn't help but think about your dad. Old Jim sang in church when I was a kid. Hey, man, he passed away when he was about 12, right? 10. Hey, man. But one day, Brother Webb, there's going to be a great getting up morning, and glory's going to move in a cemetery there in southern Illinois, and Jim Heath is going to get up. Hallelujah to God. I couldn't help but think about my grandmother who served the Lord almost 90 years. Amen. And she got up. Amen. Rather, she went into the grave. Amen. With both legs amputated. But one morning, Brother Ice, she's going to get up out of the grave with both legs restored and shout all over the hills of glory. I said, there's a glory coming. There's a glory coming. There's a glory coming. Can you imagine your loved one? Can you imagine your father and mother, your husband or wife, your children that have died in the faith? One day there's going to be a glory. One day there's going to be a getting up. That's the glory of the resurrection. That's the glory of Easter. Turn your gloom into glory this morning on Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise the Lord right now. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord.